Well, good morning, friends. This is David Bowler again with Gospel Dynamite on Tuesdays, and we're studying the Word of God. I have the privilege each Tuesday morning to be your Bible study teacher here at 9 o'clock. Many of you, I had the privilege to pastor you for about 20 years, and wonderful dear friends and people I love, and had the privilege to serve the Lord Jesus Christ together. And I just pray God's continuing to use you and bless you for His glory. And I want you to continue to pray for Sue and I. We're stumping the country, having some great meeting in churches, seeing people saved, seeing the altars full. We can tell you praying, and that God is blessing the preaching of the Word of Almighty God. And we just open up the Word of God and preach it by faith to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We watch God bring forth the fruit and people being born again. So we covet your prayers, that God will continue to use us and use you, use WDYN, Gospel Dynamite, for the glory of Almighty God. So, we're in week two now of our judgment seat of Christ, but we're studying. We went all the way back and we started on the rapture, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we looked at our new bodies, what it's going to be like when we get our glorified bodies, and then we proceed to the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to just work our way through as we go through moving through heaven and learning wonderful truths that God has for us. But we're looking at the judgment seat of Christ. Remember last week we looked at the throne room where it's going to occur. It's described in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 22, Jesus said He was coming again. He was bringing His rewards with Him. And remember, we saw the one sitting on the throne, jasper, stone clear as crystal, the sardine stone, the blood red, the emerald rainbow over the throne, the elders, the Holy Spirit there before the throne, the sea of glass, the Zoa, the four seraphim there, holy, 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 praising the Lord, and just glorifying God. And so we looked at that, the environment. That's going to be, impressive and thrilling and awesome to stand before and kneel before the Lord. And then we begin to look, first, the day of heaven's rewards. And we talked about that we're all going to give account of ourselves to God. We're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And immediately after the rapture of the church, we're home there. We've got our new bodies. We're going to be brought before the Lord Jesus Christ, and each of us will give account of our lives and what we've done. And so we talked about the day of heaven's reward, and then we talked about the distinction of heaven's reward, that the judgment seat of Christ is not a final exam to determine whether or not you're going to heaven. You're going to heaven because you've been saved. This judges your life, your deeds, your service before the Lord. Remember, by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. You're not saved by anything you ever did other than have faith in the finished work of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we looked at the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 of Paul talking about other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. And the building of our life, either with gold, silver, precious stone, or hay, wood, and stubble, and the fire trying it all. And all of our life revealed before the Lord. If you're going to gain reward, if you've been faithful, you're going to have loss and suffer shame if you haven't. And so you want to challenge yourself to live your life for the Lord. Now, there are several things listed this morning. I mentioned last week I would talk to you about them. Things the Bible says God will reward. Now, you jot these down. You can go read the verses, and you'll be able to see where God says that He will reward because of these different capacities, these different services, these different areas of our lives, and what we have done or what we have not done, and so forth. Here, let me just jot them down. In Hebrews chapter 6, listen, I'm going to read this one to you just to show you, then I'll just list the others. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, he talks about we're going to be judged by how we have treated other believers, your brothers and sisters in Christ. And God said, you be kind one to another, that you love the brethren. Listen to verse 10 of Hebrews 6. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name. You got a testimony for loving Jesus. And that you have what? Ministered to his saints and do minister. God said, I will not forget that labor of love. I'm going to mark that down on what you've done to love me, to love my people, and minister to serve them. He says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. God said, listen, I'm not going to forget where you've treated other believers right. You've loved them. You've honored them. All right, now, let me walk you through some of the others. Second thing is this. We're going to be judged on how we related to God's authority and leadership. How you responded to God and how you treated his preachers. Hebrews 13:12. Jot that down and go look at it. You don't want to badmouth the man of God. You want to pray for him. You say, well, Brother Bowler, I just don't agree with him. I don't think he's doing this right. Then tell Jesus on him. That's what I used to do. Then I'm going to tell Jesus on you. And just go pray and leave it to the Lord. He's accountable to God, and God has a way to take care of his people. So how did you relate to God's authority and leadership? Number three, how did we employ our God-given gifts? 2 Timothy 1:6-7. How did you use the gifts that God has bestowed upon you? Did you do like the one man, you just buried them? Didn't want to lose them, or did you multiply them and you used them for the Lord? To keep in a list, number four, how did we use the money God has entrusted us with? 2 Timothy 6:17-19. See, it's all his. We're stewards. Everything you have is God's. The home you're living in is God's house. You're going to leave it to somebody else. The car you drive is God's car. All these different things. So God's going to judge us by how we use the money God entrusted us with. Number five, how do we use our time? Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. We ask the Lord to teach us how to number our days, to how to use our lives wisely. And, you know, that's one thing I try to be conscious of. And I realize, I watched when Dr. Robertson began to get Alzheimer's and he couldn't go out and preach anymore, and he missed it so bad. Up until then, boy, he had been going out all the time, everywhere. And he was so sad when he couldn't go. And that's going to happen to all of us. If Jesus tarries, old body's going to wear out. There's going to come a time I can't preach. I may be sick and don't feel like preaching or don't have the ability to preach. May lose my mind. Who knows? But God's going to judge us by how we've used our time. Let's use our time and our lives for the Lord. Number six, how did we allow the Holy Spirit to overcome our old fleshly natures? 1 Corinthians 9:24-7, we'll talk about this a little bit later. Paul didn't want to be a castaway. He didn't want to let the flesh to dominate his life. He wanted to let the Holy Spirit do it. We all war against the flesh. It's one of the enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil. And God's going to reward us by how we allow the Holy Spirit to lead our lives and overcome the old fleshly nature. Number seven, how much did we suffer for the Lord Jesus and his cause? Those that suffer for the Lord, God's going to honor them. God's going to reward them. 1 Peter 4:12-13. That we suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ and are willing to bear reproach and shame for his name. Number eight, how did we use our lives as witnesses and soul winners? Daniel 12, where he talks about those that are soul winners are going to shine, and we're going to glow because there's that reward, because we've been soul winners. We've been witnesses. And I said before, 95% of the church members never, ever lead a soul to Christ. Boy, you ought to be praying, God help you win somebody to Jesus. If you will be available and you will be a witness, God will use your life to bring someone to Jesus. All right, number 9, how do we long for the return of the Lord? 2 Timothy 4:8, there's a crown of rejoicing. There's that crown for those that love His appearing. Amen? That you want Jesus to come. You're looking for Jesus to come. You're praying for Jesus to come. It's literally affecting your heart and your life as you look to and wait upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, those are 9 things that the Bible, and I was, in doing this study, I just would list them down, and so that you can look at them. And so these are some of the things that are going to be dealt with at the judgment seat of Christ. All right, number 1, Roman number 1, the day of heaven's reward, which is the judgment seat of Christ. Number 2, the distinction of heaven's reward. Gold, silver, precious stone, hay, wood, and stubble. The good is going to be blessed and rewarded. The other is going to be burned with fire, and shame will be upon the heart and the life of those folks. All right, now, Roman numeral number 3, the descriptions of heaven's rewards. We're going to look at some of the major awards now, and as we kind of work our ways through them, the New Testament describes several kinds of rewards. For time's sake, we're going to look at the 5 crowns, and look at each one of these and talk about the 5 crowns, and to kind of give all of us an idea so that we want to live our lives for the Lord. And you want to win these crowns. You want to receive these rewards. All right, so take your Bible. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to begin at verse 24. And this is, if you're keeping notes again, the victor's crown. The victor's crown. The winner's crown. And look at, let me read with you, beginning at verse 24. The Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is tempered, he's controlled in all things." I mean, they were disciplined in their training. And you and I have to be disciplined also. "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we," here it is, "an incorruptible." We're striving to win an incorruptible crown from the Lord. Paul says, "I therefore shall run, live my life, not as uncertainty. I know what I'm doing, I know where I'm going. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air," not just shadow boxing, "but I keep under my body," I keep my body disciplined, "and bring it under subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself shall be a castaway," a dokimos, okay? It means not approved. We'll talk about it. See, this is called the incorruptible crown or the imperishable crown. So when you see the victor's crown, 2 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, put the incorruptible crown, the unperishing crown. There were 2 athletic festivals in Greece, the Olympic Games and the Isthmian Games. The contestants trained vigorously to compete. Paul and the Holy Spirit used this training discipline, this commitment that the world knew about, just like we know about the Super Bowl and all these big soccer World Cups and the World Series and all that kind of stuff. I guess people always have loved athletics and the competition. But Paul and the Holy Spirit used this training discipline and that commitment by these athletes to illustrate the Christian life and our commitment. Training requires the ability to say no when necessary, even to good things. Remember, Adrian Rogers told me once a long time ago, "A good thing is a bad thing if it's not the best thing." Now, I don't know if it originated with him, but anyway, it really spoke to my heart. A good thing is a bad thing if it's not the best thing. You can be doing some good things, but if they're not the best things, they're not going to count. There are a lot of good things that can take our eyes off God, off the best things, that can fill up our time, can take our treasure, can take our testimony and all of these other different things in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He talks about this, and I talked about it earlier, about the first part deals with our new bodies. But listen what he says in verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now watch this. Wherefore, we labor, that whether present or absent, underline this in your Bible, we may be accepted of Him. We're looking for it, see? We're striving to live that way for the glory of Almighty God. It says, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're living that we may please the Lord, that everyone may receive the things done in His body, according to He hath done, whether good or bad. God said, as a Christian, if you've done things that have shamed the Lord, then God's going to discipline you because of that. Now, Paul made the statement that we read before, that he didn't want to be disapproved. The word in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 27 is the word adokamos. The word ah means no in the Greek. Adokamos means approved. But this means not approved. That he said, I live my life and I kneel before the judgment seat of Christ and I'm disapproved. God's not happy with me. It means disqualified for the crown. So think about your life. Think about your focus, your discipline to live your life to please the Lord Jesus Christ and honor Him, that you may receive the victor's crown before the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right, now, let's look at the second crown, the crown of rejoicing. This is over in 1 Thessalonians. So if you want to take your Bible over and turn over to the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we'll look at the scripture together and what God says, chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and he's talking about soul winning. About soul winning and rejoicing in the Lord and the things of the Lord and his goodness and his love and his blessing to us. That Paul talks about, I rejoice in you and I rejoice in you. See, this crown is given to those who are responsible for other people being saved and standing in the Lord's presence. That's what this is all about. That as we come and we stand before Him and we rejoice in the precious folks that are born again, that are saved, that are with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we magnify God and we glorify God and we bless the Lord because we have been witnesses and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I want to be a soul winner. I've strived my life to do that. Sue and I give out gospel tracts all over the place, everywhere we go. Sometimes we'll go into a town, we'll finish a meeting, and we'll take maybe a day or so left, and we'll just go through the town and give out gospel tracts for 2 days. Share the gospel with people and witness to them, praise the Lord, and just take advantage of it. When we go to grocery stores, we'll put them out in the groceries and rejoice in that, and watch people and their lives being changed, and it's a glorious thing to watch God work in the hearts and lives of souls. Now, let's look at the verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and look at verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Listen, it says, what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? That's where this comes from. What is our crown of rejoicing? are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming, for ye are our glory and joy. So this crown is given to those who are responsible for other people being saved and standing in the Lord's presence. Boy, I had the privilege of leading a young man from Germany to Christ when I was in Argentina. And we were over there, and this young man came from a wealthy family. He's German, a brilliant young man. He spoke Swiss, German, French, English, and was learning Spanish. But he had been he was going, before he went to work with the family company, he decided he was going to walk around the world. I mean, so he just gets off and off he goes. And he had walked through all kind of countries. He'd walked all across Europe. And he was now walking across Argentina. And he came into Buenos Aires and he met a young man. He said, let me ask you a question. Tell me about your country. I want to know how to, I'm going to try to walk from north to south or south to north. And tell me a little bit about it. And the guy said, I tell you what you ought to do. I'm on my way to Word of Life Camp. I'm going there for a Bible conference. You ought to come with me. Young fella grew up as a Lutheran, had no knowledge of the things of God. He said, okay, I'll go, and that way you can talk when I can meet other people and, you know, kind of get my plan laid out. So he came, and he was in one of the sessions, and I preached the Word of God. I was doing a morning Bible study with probably 30 or 40 English-speaking kids that were there. And he asked, could he come and sit in? And I was teaching on what every Christian ought to believe. And I started off with teaching you ought to believe the Bible is the Word of God. He sat there right on the front row, took all that in. And it took me 2 days because I go through all the things why you should believe the Bible is the Word of God. And after I got through with the Bible is the Word of God, I went through that you ought to believe that Jesus is the Christ. And I talked about Jesus. And then we talked about that you need to realize the only way you go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. We talked about salvation and used Nicodemus. How can a man be born again? This young fella, he sat listening to the Bible the first morning, second morning, that Jesus is the Christ. You could tell it was dealing with him. Third morning, on salvation, you must be born again. He was miserable. The next morning, he came in. And I was preaching about the saved, I was going to teach about the saved life with the Holy Spirit indwelling us and so forth. I started teaching and we took a break and he said, I must talk with you. Kind of a German-English accent. I must talk with you. I must. And so I said, well, as soon as this class is over, I go speak in a large meeting, about 2,500 people. And then after that, I speak in another leadership meeting with the staff here, and then I have a class this afternoon. I said, the earliest I could meet you would be 4 o'clock. I'll finish then, and I'll meet you in the coffee shop. Okay, I'll be there. And he came right in. I mean, 4 o'clock I got through, and then I'm tired. It's been a busy day. We walk right in, and he looks at me, and he says, I got to be baptized today. You got to baptize me today. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, I'm not saved. You gotta baptize me today. And I said, wait a minute, sit down here. Did you hear me teach the other day on salvation? He said, I did. I said, well, let me sit down and explain it. I took him through the plan of salvation. Boy, he's just sitting there looking at me. I said, would you like to be saved? He said, oh, I would. I said, well, let's kneel down here beside this table in the coffee. We knelt down. He was wonderfully saved. I mean, God saved him. He changed him. Boy, the Spirit of God moved in. And he was just, I mean, you could see the glow and relief in his soul. Joe came in, Joe Jordan, who was the director there at Word of Life Argentina. And he said, Joe, tell him what, I told him, I said, Benjamin, tell him what God has done for him. And he just told Joe, he said, I have been saved. I am going to heaven. Jesus has forgiven me my sins. That young fella I mean, just, and he decided to change all his plans. He decided to stay. He said, I'm going to stay and I'm going to learn the Bible and I'm going to get trained so I can serve Jesus Christ. He's still there studying. That's 2 years ago. And I talked to Joe. Joe was down there and Benjamin just happened to be nearby. And Joe said, I'm talking to Dr. Bowler. And he said, could I please talk to him? And so he came on. We talked to him in and he said, thank you. I love you for telling me about Jesus. And I'm learning so much and I'm serving God. And I'm going to go back to Germany and I'm going to make a difference for God. Oh, is that a victor's crown or is that a victor's crown? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, the crown of rejoicing. And it's often called the soul winner's crown. Let me ask you, do you have a soul winning strategy? That you're looking at a way to sow out the seed. See, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That you give out tracts. You know, you said, I had my own tract printed. Used to, we gave out How to Get to Heaven from Chattanooga. But then Sue and I were in so many cities that other than Chattanooga, all over the world, I got some of the Spanish tracts from Darwin Blandon so I could give out in Argentina. But this tract says how to get to heaven from wherever you are. No matter what city you're in, you can get to heaven from right here. And then I rewrote and reprinted the booklet on Now That You're Saved, What? And last year, 257, I believe it was, 67, people receive the follow-up booklet. God still uses tracts. Get you a prayer list of unsaved people. I'm praying for one couple now. Their heart is a brick road. But God can impact their heart. Amen? I was down in Bradenton, Florida, speaking, and I received a call from Dave and Beth Quay. And they said, we got a friend, Paul Brown. He was down there on vacation. He was put in the hospital. He's going to have emergency surgery. He doesn't know Christ. And so I said, well, we'll go. Sue and I'll go see him. So we drove over to the hospital, and they had the first procedure. Thought they were going to have to do some more. We came in and sat down, and I told him who I was, and I witnessed to him, told him that Beth and David asked me to come see him. And I said, Paul, could I ask you a question? I mean, you were close to going to eternity. If you would have died, what would have happened to you? He said, David, I'd have gone to hell. I don't know Christ. And I asked him, wouldn't you like to know Jesus? And I said, I'll show you here, right now, how you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're born again. And he opened his heart, and God spoke to him. And he was marvelously, marvelously born again. Boy, what a crown of rejoicing. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Well, time's up again. I'd hope to finish this study here in 2 Tuesdays, but I guess we'll finish next Tuesday and maybe start into one of the others if we need more time. But let me encourage you to tune in every Tuesday. And tune in every day, but tune in every Tuesday and we'll have a Bible study together, study the Word of God together, and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ and glorify His precious name. Pray for the station. Support WDYN. Let's help it become stronger and more powerful. It's part of our spiritual investment tool to carry the gospel to the world. And until next Tuesday, this is David Bowler. And it's my prayer that the Lord will richly, richly bless you. See you next week.